All right, Bert, and welcome to 2022. And this is the Loony Witch podcast with me, Kat.
And me, Amy. And if you've been listening from the start, you will know January is the wolf moon. So use this time to consider where you fit in society, what gifts you are blessed with, and how you can communicate them to the rest of the world.
And what will fit into you?
Starting off January with the filth. To be fair, I feel like it's already been filled with filth, January. It's been a filthy month.
It's a long month. Such a long, hard month.
it has been. But it reminds me of, we were talking yesterday about this meme I posted on Instagram.
Yeah.
And the responses I had, all from men. Of course. The band Twin Temple put up an image of Natalie Portman. Is it in Black Swan? When she's masturbating in the bath.
It is Natalie Portman, yeah.
It is Natalie Portman, and it says, and it's some sort of like propaganda that women masturbating will open a portal to hell. So I reposted it saying, that's the plan. And the responses.
Yeah. Can we talk about all the ones I read and like?
Yeah, of course we can. Let's have a look.
Whoever said something about Clitopia, you should be disgusted with yourself, because it was terrible. It gave me such bad.
So the one response I had was,
that's a doom land of Clitopia. And I was just like, why do I hate that so much? And then I realized it was a gaming reference.
Yeah, it was Doom Realm of Clitopia.
There's a place called Clitopia in Doom.
I don't know. I think it's made up. I think he was making it up that the portal would be the realm of Clitopia.
Yeah, chap, like, sort it out, mate.
And then I had another one, which was, and then I had two just really basic ones. One person just saying, I'm interested. And then the other one was, what? Can I? Like, what are you interested in? The portal or?
How?
Oh, hell, like it could be anything. The other response was to a watch, of course. There was going to be a pervy worthy one in there. And then the best one, of course, goes to the filthy satanic friend of mine who wrote, I don't know if I can say this one on the podcast.
We just liked it, didn't we?
Yeah. It was well, yes, that's how I would say, poetic and well-rounded and well thought of.
Yeah, Byron himself couldn't have done better.
Hilarious. Anyway, let's go on to actual magic stuff. How was your Yule?
Oh, I was banging. Yule in England is very fun. Pub every.
They do like a pub, don't they?
They do, yeah. And people were all right, actually. They were lovely. Very nice. I nearly kicked the dinner table over a couple of times on accident because they put me at the end and they really shouldn't.
But oh, no.
I know. And I was, obviously, it's the afternoon and you're quite drunk because that's the way it goes, isn't it? And yeah, I need top of the table a couple of times, but the food was fine. I did cause someone to spill vodka all over their Christmas dinner, though.
Oh, how do you do that? And vodka with a Christmas dinner?
Well, they didn't want the vodka with the Christmas dinner. That was an accident.
No, but were they drinking pure vodka and eating
They were pouring vodka into the, like they're having a short, like a bit of vodka and cork or lemon, I can't remember which. But yeah, I jogged the table and their vodka went in their dinner. But it was near the end of the dinner, so it was all right.
I love how you'll just be known now as the person that came and knocked everyone's like dinner off and stuff.
Worse than that, but I can't see on the podcast, so they know we. So, how was yours? How was your Yule?
Yeah, quiet. I celebrated Yule. I made like a little mini Yule feast and did some tarot. And that was like a really nice evening, actually. And then, yeah, because I am a parent to a small child, Christmas is chaotic and Yule is chaotic. But they had fun and that's all that matters, really. But it was quite chilled, quite quiet. I don't think I was drunk at all.
Oh, babe. Well, no.
I try to. I bought a like massive bottle of Baileys before I went vegan as a way to like, I'm going to drink this whole bottle of Baileys. And I didn't come close. And now I've got this bottle of Baileys.
Yeah, it's got cream in it, isn't it?
Yeah, I know M&S do a vegan Baileys. Mm. But yeah, I'm going to have to offload it. But I did try.
Yeah. And, you know, it's, I imagine getting drunk around small children is frowned upon, isn't it?
I feel like it is now, but I feel like when we were small children, that was allowed.
Yeah, my parents used to get, the stuff my mother used to say, I would just want the floor to fucking swallow me up. When, like, she was very sexually aggressive when she was pissed. Honestly. Not towards me, obviously, but, like, to other people.
I feel like I was present in a lot of parties, like a lot of house parties. I witnessed a lot of drunk people and I've seen my parents like drunk.
Yeah. Oh, no, I've seen my parents wasted.
Yeah, as a child.
Yeah. And New Year, I remember the millennium, and that was the first time I got pissed in the pub with my parents.
How old were you?
Like 11.
Yeah. I was going to say, I remember the millennium, but I remember doing it at home, just my parents. I remember staying up for it and it being like a really exciting one, but I don't remember getting pissed.
Yeah, we went to, I think it was the Bricks or the Wyndham, and I'm pretty sure I was drinking some of my dad's whiskey and coke, like, or they got me a small whiskey. But when you're 11, like, it fucking knocks you like a ton of bricks if you're not used to drinking. I remember back in the day, though, you used to be, you know, you could drink way more than I could and you'd be absolutely fine.
You keep saying this to me and I just don't know if it's true.
It is, though. There's been so many times where I've been absolutely, like, you know, to the point of vomiting and you're absolutely fine. We've drank exactly the same.
Yeah, but we went out. Do you remember in September when we went out?
Yeah, and we had a lot of break and new.
Oh, God, I don't think I've been that hungover for a long time. But I haven't drunk like that for ages, actually. Ages and ages. Even on my birthday, I didn't really drink much. So
kids, like, they ruin everything.
I think that's what it is for me, that I just think about the next day quite a lot.
Yeah, screaming toddler with a hangover is probably horrible. I can just stay in bed all day, which is lovely. Like, I did that on the solstice. I just went for a sea swim and that sorted me right out.
That's lush.
Mm. But talking to people who like to drink. Well, I don't know if they did, actually. Maybe if they're British, they probably did. So today I've listened to a lot of history, because I've had a lot of time to myself. I've been listening to a lot of history podcasts. And recently, there was a druid on. Did you hear the All Killer No Filler short that they did before New Year's?
I didn't, but it's Christopher Hughes, isn't it?
Yeah, Christopher Hughes. It was fucking amazing. If you like, if you like laughing, fucking listen to it. It's brilliant.
I've been a big fan of him for ages through TikTok, and I have one of his books.
I did not know that.
But the shock for me came from that he's also
Mabinogi.
Yes, which I did never knew that was him.
No way. Well, I didn't even know, like, of the person. So, yeah, I've kind of discovered them both at the same time.
I think I saw that Kerry Pritchard McLean had done, like, a documentary series with them.
On RS Pedwarek.
Yes. And I think that's why I knew, I'd heard of them before.
Okay, so I got very inspired by listening to that, and I decided to do some research into the ancient druids. So today we're going to talk about the history of the druids, and it's quite long and involves a strap in.
So, yeah, I'm excited to hear. In the one book that I've used all throughout last year, they mention it a lot, and obviously
as I said, I've got one of Christopher's books, but I don't have his other ones. But I'm interested to hear about this.
So what do you know about Druids off the top of your head, Amy?
Absolutely nothing at all.
Absolutely nothing, right. Okay, so actually, the persecution of the Druids is probably one of the first known cases of religious persecution in the UK.
Wow. I do need to just go back. The only thing I know about Druids is that in Dungeons and Dragons, I am a Druid. So I only knew Druids through the realm of World of Warcraft and Dungeons and Dragons, which doesn't help me with this episode.
I'm sure there'll be lots of transferable knowledge.
Let's hope, yeah.
So we're talking about the first century AD. So it's about 2,000 years ago. So Druids were an ancient religious order. They were present in Ireland, Wales, England, Scotland, and Gaul, which is modern-day Brittany. And our sources for today are Caesar, mostly, and Posidonius, and Tacitus. So they're all, well, I think Posidonius is Greek, but it's like Greco-Roman classical writers. It's very difficult because there are only snippets of information written down by outside sources that are contemporary, because the Druids were very so they put a lot of emphasis on their culture being an oral culture, which we don't hate. So they could read and write, but they chose to not have any written records.
Well, I guess that's what makes it more of a secret society in a way, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's that transfer of knowledge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Allegorical thing. So the Greco-Roman writers writing between the 4th century BC and the 2nd century AD described Druids as natural philosophers. The Greeks saw them as intellectuals, and they thought that they were very clever and very similar to Pythagoras, because they believe that the soul was immortal. But yeah, I don't know what the transmigration of the soul's got to do with triangles.
Oh, is it because, have I made up that the elemental symbol for spirit is a triangle?
Oh, maybe it is. And Pythagoras did the triangle stuff, didn't he? That's maths.
That is maths. Well done. I didn't think he did the triangle. Did he do the other one, the 3.1.
Pythagoras is triangles, isn't it?
Oh.
Correct me if I'm wrong. What are you thinking?
I'm just, the only thing I remember from maths is, oh, I'm thinking of pi. That's what I'm thinking of.
Even I know that.
Oh, God. Always pi on the brain.
So Pythagoras also had the same idea about the immortality of the soul, and so the soul carries on after you die, and this made the early Greeks think that the Druids were very, very clever. So Caesar in 50s BC, he wrote about the Druids in Gaul in his book, which is De Gallo Balico, which means the Battle of Gaul. And he talks about the customs of the Druids. He said that they were in charge of all religious practices. They were judges, teachers, natural scientists. And they studied plant law and medical practices. And they were also involved in negotiation between the tribes. They mapped the cosmos, and they were immensely influential in political and religious matters.
Oh, so very important then.
Yes, they were like a kind of like upper ruling class. And he actually had a friend. He had a friend called, there's so many C's in this, Deviococus, who was a Druid, and he was from the Aedui tribe, and they lived in modern day Burgundy.
Oh.
Yeah. So he had while he was battling in Gaul, yeah, he had a Druid mate. So he was chief of their tribe, and Deviococus actually went to Rome where he met the great philosopher and politician Cicero. I don't know if you ever heard of Cicero.
Yes, when I went there to Rome, I went to the tomb of Cicero.
Yeah, so Deviacus, that's fucking hell. I can't do names. He actually went to the Senate in Rome and he asked for the help for soldiers to battle against his neighboring tribes. And Cicero was very impressed with him, said he was a really cool guy. And he also said that he was a great diviner. So he did some divination and could predict the future while he was in Rome. And he spoke Latin, so they thought he was pretty cool.
Well, there we go. Go with all your party tricks, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just, I don't know, it's mad, isn't it? Like, you don't write anything down, but you can learn another language within 15 years of people turning up to your country and saying this is ours now. But I don't know. I feel like Diviciacus is a bit of a collaborator, and I'm not down with that.
No?
No, because like all these Romans are coming in and he thinks, oh, I'll side with them against the other tribes. I don't know, maybe this is my Celtic nationalism coming out.
But I guess, you know what you said there, that they were involved in all matters. There's going to be doing things for your benefit.
Yeah.
Within that.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, you know, the Druids are doing that to keep themselves in power as well, aren't they? I'm sure they did some bastardly things sometimes as well. Like they are humans.
Yeah, exactly.
So Caesar writes that the reason that Druids, who can read and write, and are highly intellectual in their practice, so the reason they had an oral tradition was to keep their knowledge secret, keep it to the few, and also to train their memory. So they would keep the culture and the chronicles. So they would, you know, year after year after year, they'd learn the history of the culture.
Okay.
So Caesar says that Druidism started in Britain and it was exported to Gaul. But much later, Pliny, who was a later Roman writer, he actually said the opposite. And then later sources, Tacitus, they start to paint the Druids as barbarians and savages who practice human sacrifice.
Ah, oh, so this is when all this starts to come in.
Well, I think it seems like the Romans were not so keen on the British Druids. They liked the French ones. But it seems that later, after they'd conquered Britannia, as it was then, they started to try and paint their conquests as legitimate.
And they started to sort of...
Yeah, just paint them in a bad light, you know?
Yeah.
Victory is written by the winners. No. History's written fucking hell. Yeah. History written by the winners.
That is very true, isn't it?
Yeah. So the Druids, obviously, they were highly nationalistic and they were a rallying point for sedition, though I don't see how you can have sedition if you want to keep your own country. So the Druids had a vested in, you know, like they themselves had a vested interest in keeping the Romans out. As the Romans taking over, they would lose all their power. Because they depended on a hierarchical and stratified society, and there were no places for Druids in a Roman society.
Oh, so actually it wasn't in their benefit there being chummy with them.
The British ones, no, it turns out.
Okay.
Like the French seem to have kept, well, we'll get into that later, but it seems to be they had a problem with the British Druids. Like they didn't like them. So I don't know whether the British Druids were just like, nah, mate, fuck off.
And the French ones were a bit more like, well, if this is going to happen, we may as well be involved.
They're just like, be our guest, be our guest. And the British was like, get out my pub.
Stereotype in here.
I know, I'm sorry. So where was I? Oh, so Caesar said that the Druids were highly organized. They had archdruids that they elected. They had annual meetings and they would communicate all across Britain and Gaul. So their belief in transmigration of the soul made people very brave. So they were a rallying point. So people weren't afraid to die fighting for their freedom because they thought that they would come back.
Well, that's the whole thing with like Norse mythology and Vikings, isn't it? You die, you go to Valhalla.
yeah, you kind of want to die in a way. So you're more likely to throw yourself into a melee.
Yeah, I think it's only if you die in battle you go to Valhalla, isn't it? That's why it was better for men didn't want to die of old age. They would rather be killed in war.
And if you didn't scream during a Blood Eagle.
Oh, when they did that thing to the back of the skin.
Yeah.
Oh, grim.
I shall draw a Blood Eagle upon your back.
That's a great scene in Vikings when they do that to that guy.
Yeah, and then they do... Oh, let's not get into Vikings. I could talk about this all day.
Coming soon, episodes on Vikings.
Sexy Norsemen. And women. There's some beautiful people in that TV show. But anyway, so the druids held power because they were the intermediary to the gods, and that's how they maintained their power. So the people, the common people, needed them, or they couldn't speak to the gods. Or druids could also cut you off from the gods. So they could say, right, that's it. You've been, you know, I guess in a way, excommunicated, and then you were fucked.
What?
Yeah. And we don't know much about the ritual. So the one detailed account of a ritual we have was written by Pliny the Elder. And he talks about the one we all know associated with druids is the cutting of the mistletoe with the golden sickle.
Yeah, I saw this mentioned a bit in some Yule stuff.
Yeah, so I think it's like midwinter where they practice that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they had to have the right moon phase. That was very important. And the druids held power because they were the ones who decided when it was time to do things, and also the concept of time.
Oh.
So Pliny wrote that they wore white robes, and then they cut the mistletoe from the oak tree, not letting any fall to the ground. So it only fell onto a white cloth. And he said they sacrificed a white oxen. And
What's a white ox, like a white cow?
A white cow, yeah. For some reason, there seems to be oxen and then cows. So I don't know whether that's a...
I think it's a different type of cow, isn't it? A
different type of cow, okay.
Okay.
What makes a cow then?
Well, I don't know. But you know, like, when you can get, like, oxtail crisps?
Yes. That's not a cow.
Well, I don't know. I always assumed it wasn't. And you can get, like, ox cheek. Like when they
is that not a fancy word for cow though?
Maybe it is. Maybe it's just a fancier cow.
Maybe.
Or a male cow?
No, it's a bull. I don't know. If you know, write in. Tell us an ox and a cow.
Tell us all about cows at the Loony Witch Podcast on Instagram.
WeLoveCows.com. So mistletoe was very, very important to the druids. It was a symbol of eternal life. And Pliny also stated that the druids had a vast knowledge of plants and herb lore and used that to treat people. So at this time, so we're now in AD 60, which is a big year for Britain, a really big year. So Paulinus, the Roman general, he was brought over by the Emperor Nero, and he decided that now was the time to smash the druids and get rid of their power. So the druids retreated to the holy grove that is on the island of Anglesey. So Annismon. I think Mona was what the Romans called it, but it's Annismon in North Wales. And so Paulinus took 20,000 troops to Anglesey to exterminate them.
Oh, wow.
So now, Caesar said that the Druids were exempt from military service. So that would lead you to believe that perhaps they didn't fight. However, he also states that a Druid could challenge the Archdruid to combat for his seat. So obviously they're not opposed to fighting. They can fight, but they don't have to serve in the armies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Tacitus actually writes a really good account of the skirmish in Annismon. So he says the Romans had built flat-bottomed boats to get up the Menai Straits and then land on Anglesey. And when they landed, they were met by warriors, druids, and fury-like women brandishing torches and all screaming at them. So the druids were using their words as weapons. They were cursing the Romans. And then all the people were ready to fight to protect the grove from the invading force. So and it's mon actually. So mon could be derived from, remember we talked about modron when we talked about the story of the giant guy. Remember the giant guy and they have to go see the old fish?
Yes, I remember.
What's his fucking name? Mabon, that's it.
Yeah.
The tale of Mabon. So she is the Welsh mother goddess. And they think it might be derived from that.
Oh.
Yeah. So the Romans may have wanted to destroy the shrines there because they were in fear of the goddess's divine feminine power. Because, as you know, the Romans hated women. Tacitus especially hates women.
They liked a penis.
A lot of flying penises. They love a good dick.
They used to decorate their doorways with them.
Yeah. Was it Phallus Invictus or something? I can't remember what it is now. Phallus Victorious?
They believed it was a protection symbol. Yeah. So when I went to Pompeii, you can see the penises on the doorways.
Which I'm not opposed to, but have a bit of balance, isn't it? It's not all about the penises.
True, true. But I also saw a menu for a whorehouse. Not a whore. Well, I thought they would have called it that.
A knocking shop.
Yeah, it was like a menu with pictures on, like they had, and you would go in and you would pick the picture you wanted.
Oh, it's very accessible.
I know.
But both of those people there were probably slaves.
Yeah, true. They weren't there for, you know, they weren't there as like a, as sex workers are. Some sex workers are now, like giving it for the power and stuff like that. Yeah. They were definitely slaves, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So the Romans, they're trying to land with these boats. There's all these fucking druids screaming words because they had the power of their words. So the Romans were really superstitious. So they were a bit shit up, obviously. However, the Roman legion slaughtered a lot of people that day. But, turn up for the books, they were interrupted. Guess what or whom interrupted them?
Oh, was it a goat?
Oh, no. No.
Cooler than a goat.
Much cooler.
Is it a creature?
No, it's a person you would have heard of.
I don't know.
So at the same time that these Roman legions are up in Anglesey, Boudicca is fucking laying waste to Colchester and destroyed an entire legion and then went to London and set it on fire and raised it to the ground.
No, at the same time.
Oh, with a steel chair.
That's very cool.
Yes. What did you say? Sorry.
I was like, at the same time.
At the same time.
Wow.
I know, it's pretty cool, isn't it? Mm. So there are some theories that this could have been orchestrated by the druids as a way to draw the troops away from the sacred grove. Maybe. Could be. I don't know.
Well, it depends how, yeah. If it depends on if they are actually very similar to the French ones that are involved at that level.
All across Britain, they had networks and they all met up once a year. So they all knew each other. And there was actually some, so it said that Boudicca did some divination in the sacred groves of London. So it could have been that she was a druid herself.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. So Paulinus, the Roman general, he gets all the way there. And they have to turn straight around. And there was go on.
Yeah, to go back.
Yeah, so they have to go all the way. So they get there. So you've gone from London to Anglesey by foot, on foot.
In a straight line because they don't.
Straight line.
Yeah.
And then you've got to go, oh, fuck's sakes, and turn all the way around.
It can't have been easy either to go to on foot through the mountains.
I know. It's a shame they didn't all die on the way.
Yeah, I guess they came across Europe though, so.
Yeah. They were pretty good at conquering at that stage, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They had it down. They had their method.
Yeah, totally.
So another theory I read, which was very interesting. So there's a place that the Romans would have passed called Lindo Moss. And now in 1984... the archaeologists there, they found the remains of what is known as the Lindo Man, who's a young man that was sacrificed around the same time. So it could be that he was made as a sacrifice to divert the Romans, which is very interesting.
Oh, to as in a sacrifice to get that magic to work.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know. Isn't that cool?
That's pretty cool. So that their first recollection of us just like sacrificing loads of people then just gets confirmed as true.
They probably didn't do it where they could see. They probably just did it right. They're going to pass this way. We're going to sacrifice this person and hopefully that will divert the catastrophe. And it kind of did, because that'll wipe them all out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, however, despite the Druids and Boudicca's best efforts, the Romanization of the UK happened. And in Roman society, people could not be a Druid and a Roman citizen. So after Anglesey, Druidism was destroyed in many cultures. And later it was sort of finished off a bit more by the introduction of Christianity.
Bastards.
Yeah. However, so Romans do talk about Druids in their writings up until the 4th century AD. So this is 200 years later.
Oh, so it shows that they're still familiar with it after all that time. So it must be in society.
It's very much in their sort of their cultural idea. You know, it's very much in the zeitgeist. So the poet Servius, who was from Bordeaux, he stated in his writings that Druids were dynastic and that in his time the mantle was passed from father to son. So it may have been that they didn't die out completely and there were still Druids around.
Oh, that's cool then.
Yeah, and then there's a very strange document. So they're called the Augustan History Documents and they're from the 3rd and 4th century. And they have stories about how the emperors of Rome and their ascension, so them coming to power, that was predicted by Gaulish druidesses, so French druidesses. So that's much later they're talking about that.
So it's never, ever really disappeared.
No, and the Romans never got to Ireland, or if they did, they didn't manage to get hold of it. So the Druids continued in Ireland. Which remained unconquered by the Romans. And the bardic tradition continued very strongly. So, you know, in Wales, we have Eisteddfods. And there were Druids attending the Eisteddfods right up until the 17th century.
Have you ever been to a Eisteddfod?
Not a formal one. I've only ever been to a school one.
Oh, I've been a few times.
I like the chair thing. Like, ah, Eisteddfod, Eisteddfod. Like...
Yeah, do you know it was given to somebody who had died once? So the chair was empty.
Oh, no. Who was that?
I can't remember who it was now. Somebody will listen to this. And we learned about it in school.
Was it Dylan Thomas, do you reckon?
No. I say no, and I could be. But I know the chair's gone to somebody who died, so the chair just had remained empty. But I went to the Eisteddfod on this morning.
Did you?
Yeah, I went to sing in the Eisteddfod.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
And I can act all.
Aw. Oh, there, thog.
Diolch yn fawr.
Well, do you know what? Right, so I've been, my quest to learn Welsh is still ongoing. And I signed up to this thing and it's like a sentence a day. So they talk and then you talk. And it was talking about... how the Welsh language should continue because we love Wales and like I was like learning and then I was just like, do you know what, I'm gonna read the national anthem and then I was like reading the translation of the national anthem, I had to cry. I was just like so full of national pride. I was just like, oh my god, we are the land of bards and music. Poetry. Yeah,
that's how much you love Wales.
Much I love Wales. I had a proper attack of nationalism.
I read something, I watched something really interesting of a girl who will no longer call it Wales. She calls it Cymru.
She's the one to start calling it Cymru because the Saxons are dicks.
Because she's like, why do we call our country by the name it's not? We live in Cymru. And I was just like, God, you know, that is true. We call it, that's not what our country is called. But because Thomas, now my son, goes to Welsh school, it's really nice hearing him come home and saying little bits.
Oh, that's...
So he said, the other day he's washing his hands, he said, Seb on. And I was like, yeah, soup, that's what soup is. And he goes, bore da. And I go, bore da, Thomas.
Aww. And it was cute. But well done for on your quest for learning Welsh. Proud of you.
Dwi'n moyn dysgu siarad Gymraeg.
Oh, bendigedig.
Oh, acos dwi'n moyn carw Cymru. Oh no, I just said I like to love Wales.
Yeah. I just know carw is carry.
Carry. Oh, do you know what's really funny though? Because I'm learning the South Walian dialect. I usually say Cymraeg, Cymraeg.
Oh, it's Cymraeg.
In the South Welsh one, it's Cymraeg.
Oh.
So it's like, dwi'n dysgu siarad Cymraeg. I was like, no.
It is funny how, and I guess it's the same, well, they say about Britain as a whole, isn't it? That you can travel like 40 minutes down the road and the dialect will like completely change. And it's the same in Welsh. And I remember fondly from like Welsh school that we would always talk about how gogs, as we called them, had different accent and the different pronunciation of their Welsh compared to us. And it was almost looked upon as that was the true Welsh up in North Wales.
Just have to look at, like, I'm from an hour's away. Cardiff to Valley's accent is so different.
Yeah, and then if you go to Bridgend, everything.
I don't know. People I know from Bridgend, well, I get post call, they don't have an accent. But I think that's because they're all middle class.
I was laughing the other day. I was playing a game on the Switch. It's an old game, but it's made by the creators of Studio Ghibli, who make amazing films, as we all know. It's called Ni No Kuni, and there's he's a little elf creature in it, but he's voiced by Rod Gilbert. Amazing. So he has the strongest Welsh accent, but he sounds exactly like my friend Mike, and I just recorded it. I was like, this little elf in this game sounds exactly like you. Uh-huh. And he was just like, I'm not that Welsh, am I? I was like, yeah, you are. Because I always say, because we were going to have him on here, weren't we, and talk about Satanism. I was like, we'd have to have subtitles on that podcast, because there'd just be three really strong Welsh accents competing against each other.
We will at some point.
Yeah, well, we always say we're going to do these mini episodes. We will do them eventually. Promise.
Don't promise them, Amy.
No, I want to do it. If we promise them, then we'll do it.
Okay. Okay, we will. So, yeah, so Druidism in the 18th century with the Celtomania. Do you know about Celtomania with the Victorians?
No.
Oh, well, they all suddenly got very, very interested in their Celtic heritages and looking into, you know, like when King Arthur and all the medieval, the knights and chivalry all came back into fashion.
The Victorians were very curious people, though.
They had lots of manias, didn't they? And the romantic movement, they were very romantic. So they kind of revived Druidism in a really big way.
Oh.
So, and then we got to talk about, so I wanted to talk about the where it comes from that they say that Druids practice human sacrifice. So that comes from a quote in, I can't remember if it's Tacitus or Caesar, but he talks about how the Druids' altars ran red with blood. But, you know, for a bit of, what's the word I'm looking for? To kind of put it in perspective, right? So apparently they mainly did it at times of big, like huge crisis. And sometimes it would be the leaders would be sacrificed to appease the gods. So they'd kill one old king when shit was going bad to make way for a new one. And then usually if they had a lot of sacrifice, it'd be criminals or prisoners of war. But if they needed to, they would move on to the innocent. Now, actually, so in 97 BC, Romans had just outlawed human sacrifice. So not long before Caesar writes about it. So Caesar doesn't see it as a big deal. He kind of writes about it in a matter-of-fact way. But it's only later when others who are not contemporary write about it. So we can see that as an obvious attempt to demonize them. So yes, Tacitus is a horrible cunt, like. If you've ever read anything he's written. He's so horrible about Boudicca.
No, I haven't read anything.
Well, I've been deep into the classics recently. So the Druids are instrumental in... more contemporary Druids. So they were instrumental in the 18th and 19th century, and they were recoverers of the national spirit. So they they went about reconstructing temples, you know, a lot of the monoliths and, you know, places of great scenic beauty we have these days. They saved that land for the National Trusts and they stopped it being built on and they preserved the ancient site. So they were actually the eco-warriors of their day.
Oh, I love that.
I know. And then we still have Druids today and I haven't done much about them because I'm not an expert, but I'm hoping we can get somebody who is on to tell us about the modern day Druids. And yes, if you can hear the sound of running water, it's my gash gushing because I love history so much. I really enjoy doing that.
Oh, I'm so glad.
I know, it's so much fun. So yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, they're interesting, aren't they? And I guess, again, all that writings, like I talked about at the start, with like things like D&D and stuff, all that is inspired that, yeah, that fantasy culture as well.
No. I bet it was fantastical when you were living in it, don't get me wrong, but...
Oh, yeah.
To imagine it is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, definitely. And I know, like... I think some things within witchcraft are very linked to Druidism. So I believe the spell that I haven't done, but it's the cord cutting spell, would you do with the candles? Have you heard of that one?
No.
So it's normally when you want to untie your tether to somebody. So what I've seen and what I've read about is you have two candles and you write a string around it. You put a string around the both candles. They need to be like pillar candles or, you know, like candlesticks. And you burn the candles down. And after, announcing who you're tethered to, so a candle, you know, represents each person. Uh-huh. And the candles burn down and they burn the string that's tied around them. And it's kind of like cuts your tether with them. And I think that's linked to Druidism, because then I believe the pagan hand fastening ceremony, like the wedding, their wedding ceremony, that comes from Druidism.
Well, there's a whole thing of like not magic, isn't there?
Yes. And I think a lot of it is like it comes from their history.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And the Ogham, you know about the Ogham?
No.
This is a divination tool. It's like loads of sticks. I posted one on our a little Ogham sort of shorthand chart thing on the Instagram stories.
Okay.
But I was reading, like, I haven't gone into it because I don't know much about it, so don't quote me. But that is something that's strongly associated with Druids, and there has been some archaeological evidence that they practice Ogham.
Interesting. I guess because, as you said, there's not a lot of bits written down, then I'm guessing a lot of their rituals is passed, as you said, when you become a druid or you join a druid society. I do have, as I said, one of Christopher's books, but it's in relation to Caer Idwen, and how they use Caer Idwen as a deity. And there is a ritual in it, but it's a 12-month ritual.
Oh, yeah. Is that the year and the day one? Is that a different one?
Yeah, it is a year and a day ritual linked, obviously, the story of Caer Idwen and the cauldron. So there, maybe when I finish that, I'll have a bit more of an idea, but I haven't finished it. But yeah, interesting part of magic. I'm guessing it's one of those things as well that you don't just say you're a druid, you find a druid society.
I think there's levels to this shit, like literally.
Yes. No, that's in a way, that is a nice part of it, isn't it? Because you build a community surrounding it.
That is nice. The contrarian in me also says I don't want thinking but I'm sure you are really encouraged to have your own thought. I think for me, any kind of like group organized thing, I'm just like, no, I'm a lone walker.
And I guess that's like personal preference.
It is personal preference, yeah. And every path is right for you if you're doing it, you love it and you enjoy it.
Yeah, totally. No, lovely. I enjoyed that. And I love Ennismorn anyway, so.
I've never been. I'd love to go. If you've got have us in Ennismorn, and because you can still go to the Grove.
Oh.
Yeah, you can go to where there's a burial chamber there.
I think I've seen pictures of it on Instagram.
Yeah, I would love to go.
It is a very, very beautiful place. I have been twice and I've really loved it. North Wales as a whole is a beautiful part of this world.
I know. That's my next place I'd like to explore. But guess where I'm going on Saturday?
Where are you going Saturday?
I am going to Herefordshire. I'm going to an orchard. I'm going wassailing.
That's very exciting.
Yes, I'm going to see Morris dancers. Pretty cool. And some like musicians. Amazing. And a fuck ton of Mary Lloyds. So I need to go buy a load of film so I can take pictures of these Mary Lloyds.
Oh, that's going to be so lovely.
I know, it's going to be so cool.
Because we were supposed to go to one and it didn't turn out because of the Welsh restrictions. It didn't come to be, did it?
No, which is mad. I'm going to what is now technically England, but is technically the border, to see a Welsh folk tradition. But it'll be really fun. I'm sure the people will be lovely. I cannot wait.
Yeah, that's going to be such good fun.
I know. We're going to be singing in an orchard to bring forth the good harvest.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
I will admit, I haven't had a lot of focus on my practice at the moment.
No.
I'm looking at my altar now. It's tidy, but it's still very much set for Yule. And if you listened to our very first episode, which I think is crazy and has something like 250 listens or something stupid now. It was all about in bulk. So that's coming up on the 1st of February.
I know. You know what's next as well in 2 weeks?
Dydd Santes Dwynwen.
Dydd Santes Dwynwen! If you don't know, it's Welsh Valentine's Day. I choose to not see her as a saint and think that she's a much older deity, pre-Christian. But yeah, I'm going to try making some... Well, I'm not going to say on the podcast just in case, but I'm going to try making some Dydd Santes Dwynwen treats for the one I love.
Oh, lovely. It sounds nicer, doesn't it? Dydd Santes Dwynwen to Valentine's Day.
Keep the ropes out. What did the Romans ever do for us?
I'm a sucker for any event anyway, but yeah. Oh, yeah, 2 weeks. Gosh, may need to get on that. But yeah, we got Imbolc. So I thought I would just, share some like extra things from what we shared like last year. And one of the first things that I'll be doing is burning my Bridget Cross.
Oh, shit, yes, time for that. Fucking hell. It's above my door.
Yeah, so if you follow us on Instagram, you may have seen that we made them last year. And I actually really enjoyed making my cross. Do you know where it is, yours?
Like, no, I can see it. I'm looking at it. It's above my door, but I'm just going to have to fucking make another one. That's why I was just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, I cut, I think in the end last year, I went up the common and I cut like grasses and I dried it that way. So yeah, this is your opportunity to make your Bridget Cross and place it on your altar and you burn your old Bridget Cross. And then there's a lot of things linked to it, exactly like, you know, most of the other like holidays. So you've got like your spring clean, you know, sweeping that negative energy away, cleansing, all sorts of bits and pieces. But I found this is a divination spell, so divination ritual surrounding the weather. And this is to bring the like arrival of spring. So this actually has it's got wax reading in it. And the art of reading wax has origins to the Celtics and the Romans, but to the Druids as well. So this is where you would melt wax into a bowl of water. Have you seen that? And then you read the wax.
Yeah. It's like when it's dripped on your skin.
It is very nice when you drip it on your skin. It almost like a bit of a tea leaves kind of thing. So what you would do is you place your bowl of cold water on your altar, and in a ritual you'd light a white taper candle, and as you ask your question aloud, so, you know, will spring arrive with the coming wind or ride it back as it rescinds? So in the UK we tend to get
what
so what it means is spring gonna
is spring going to come now? So it's going to come with the wind, or is it instead going to get very cold again? So a low February is technically our last month of winter.
Back, I'm stuck on this now. Say the rhyme again.
Will spring arrive with the coming wind, or ride it back as it rescinds?
It's quite sexy, isn't it?
I suppose so.
Sorry.
I think we need to call January Horny January, because...
Thirsty January.
So yeah, so that's what you would say. And as the wax begins to pool, tip the candle over the bowl of water and allow the melted wax to drip into the water. So you gaze at the wax as it cools and forms shapes in the water, and you would look for symbols of spring, so such as the sun, flowers, leaves, birds and butterflies and bees, and to show that spring's going to come. Or you would look for symbols of winter, such as snowflakes, gust of winds or clouds and icicles and like dead trees, etc. You can also, if you wanted to, anoint the wax candle, which we've talked about before, where you sort of melt the candle, you can roll it in herbs and such. But yeah, just a little ritual to see, is spring around the corner? Can I start, you know, planting my seeds ready, or am I going to get further frost here?
Fingers crossed, early spring.
I'm enjoying winter this year. It's not so bad. I feel like last January and it rained for like 30 days and I was very welcome. I really wanted spring to come. But the last 2 days here, we've had really nice sunny, frosty days, and I like days like that.
You not got fog today?
No, I've heard in Cardiff it's like Silent Hill.
It literally is. I nearly got run over earlier because you just can't see no one come in.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not good.
Hill right now? Yep. Yeah. Silent Hill.
No, it's been beautiful here. Really nice, crunchy sort of leaves when you're standing on them. Crunchy grass. Half my garden hasn't actually lifted frost all day. It's remained frosty.
Winter.
Yeah, I like days like that. I think they're really nice. And what else was I gonna share quickly? Another little one you can do, which is the inbox spell for energy. So again, to celebrate the coming of spring, you've got your bridges crossed, but you can also make a bridges doll, and this will bring the bridges invigorating energy. So all you need is something like fabric and dried herbs and flowers, wool and a needle of thread. So what you're going to do is you're almost going to cut out a really simple doll shape twice from any fabric. In my head, I imagine that you're cutting out the shape of like a gingerbread man.
Yeah, I think so.
You sew around the edges, leaving room to fill it with dried herbs and flowers and wool. And if you have a wish for the year ahead, you can write it on a piece of paper and pop it inside before sewing it up. And then when you finish, you leave the doll on the mantelpiece or a hearth and near your fireplace as a reminder of Bridget's life-giving power.
Aww.
That's a cute one, isn't it?
A cute one. I do like Bridget as a saint.
Yeah. She was one of the most interesting ones that we talked about last year.
Yeah, very interesting. We could do a bit on like Dunwin's life after a bit of research as well, though.
Yeah, like, that'd be cool.
I'll bribe all out, though.
What else was I going to update everybody on? Oh, my Garden of Death is back. I found a bird. I just dead. No injuries.
I thought he was still alive. I was just like, just pop him back in the hedge. And you were like, it's dead.
Oh, yeah. I sent a picture of the bird to Kat asking for advice because I wanted its skull. And Kat took it as...
normal.
Perfectly normal, like, reaction. Kat took it as I was asking for health advice. And she was like, just prop it up in the hedge. And I was like, what? It's dead. Clearly dead as well. If you all saw the picture of the birds, you would know this is dead. Yeah, so I've literally not found a poor creature dead in my garden for a couple of months. So, you know.
Come in.
I think it was about this time last year it started.
Yeah. It's that hill. They all go to that big hill to die on where your garden is.
They all reach the top and they're like, God, that was a big hill.
Yeah. It's like, right, I'm here now. Goodbye.
Dear, dear. What else do we have?
So we need to announce who won our copy of the Mabinogi.
Thanks
for writing the questions. That was a really fun episode. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did.
Yeah, it was a good episode. It was a nice chill one. It's different, wasn't it, for us?
It's nice to take stock.
And look back at the year. It feels, I can't believe that we've been doing it a year.
I know, it's mad, isn't it? And it's been, how do I say this? It's been really fun. Like, not that it hasn't been effort, because we do put a lot of effort into research. Well, we put as much effort as two full-time working people, one mum can do. But we really enjoy it. We love it.
Yes, definitely. And it does, whenever I do an episode and I've had like a period of time where I haven't done any like magic, I do, it does re-inspire me and it does bring my interest back to life. So today, you know, when I was doing my bits of research, or, you know, not that I did anything compared to Kat, she is the amazing researcher here. It always does make me think, oh, I need to do some ritual stuff.
Oh, I am the Marcus to your Ben, aren't I?
You are the Marcus. You didn't even call me the Henry, you call me the Ben.
You love Ben.
I do love Ben, yeah, but Ben doesn't, at least Henry does a little bit.
All right, you're the Marcus to my Henry.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. if no one understands, that's the last podcast on the left reference.
I know. I love it. That's the thing. That and All Killer No Filler, I was just like, yes, that is the kind of energy I want to be bringing to my podcast.
Totally. I've been actually really rubbish with podcasts because I've been on a music kick. So I haven't listened to podcasts for ages.
Oh, you'll have so many to catch up on. You're so lucky.
I do have a lot to catch up on. But I listen to quite a few podcasts. So I'll just choose one and then I'll go back through all of it.
There's a great one called How I Fuck.
Oh,
I've got really into it. It talks about different people and their relationship with sex and how they fuck, basically. It's great.
That's interesting. I have been listening to Come Curious.
Oh, that's good, but How I Fuck is better.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, I may check that out then.
Yeah, How I Fuck is more in. Oh my god, did you listen to the sleeping bag and the bug story? Have you gotten to that one yet on Come Curious?
No, there's loads of them.
Oh, listen to the Cock Destroyers episode. It is the maddest fucking story you will ever hear in your life.
It must be true that any stories surrounding that subject are just the best stories, in my personal opinion.
Sex sells.
It certainly does. It certainly does. And I feel like, as well, for all the listeners, we haven't been raunchy on a couple of episodes.
No, and you go very PG.
We're not. We've got an explicit sign on our Apple podcasts.
That is because I swear like a sailor. And, you know, sex also, because I practice sex magic, sex gets you what you want.
So. Exactly. We do need to do a sex magic episode. I've had a formal request.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, from our friend Bronwyn. She would like us to do...
Yes, Bronwyn. Okay, fine.
So we need to... For Broadway, we need to do that as well. But our winner of the Mabinogion book then.
Yeah.
Is
That's
a trouble. It sounded like you were printing a receipt. It needs to be like,
okay. Shh. The drum roll then.
Okay.
Really good drum roll.
Thanks. Who's our winner, Kat?
Our winner is Little Lou Fox. Congratulations, Lou.
Lou is always...
We love Lou. We love you, Lou.
Very engaging on our Instagram and always very complimentary as well.
Yeah. So we hope you enjoy this copy of the Mabinogi. Please, well, we'll message you, but if you listen to us before we message you, send us your address, love. We won't come to your door, but we will send you a nice book.
Yes, you don't want, she probably doesn't want us both at our door.
Oh, fuck no.
We're not the easiest people. Should we do some tarot then?
Yes, we should.
Ooh. I haven't done tarot for ages.
I was thinking then, I haven't pulled a card in 2022. I was getting all fucking weirded out by the fact that it's 2022.
People keep saying that, and I don't get why it's weird.
Because it's 2022.
It still doesn't freak me out.
Really? Oh, okay, maybe not then.
No, but I loads of people have said that to me, and I go, yeah, I understand that, but it doesn't freak.
The phonetics of it, babes. It's like we're doing it all again. We're in fucking Groundhog Day.
We are, aren't we? Cue the jingle.
What do you got?
Oh, the Ace of Swords in reverse.
So it's not too...
Yeah, we don't know. It could be good. It
could be good. Okay. The Ace of Swords, mental clarity, truth, decision-making, clarity, and raw power.
In reverse?
Reverse meaning lack of clarity and direction.
Oh, crap. Oh, but that could be... Yeah, no, that's all right.
That's fine. That's the...
I don't necessarily agree completely, but I can deal with that.
I kind of wanted to break into Blink-182 then.
Why?
We don't know when it got no purpose and direction. We don't know when you want a fucking explanation. I was listening to Blink-182 earlier.
Hey, see, that blows my mind. I can't listen to anything like that until it's summer.
Really?
I am very much like pop punk is for summer, and then I will turn dark and broody. Pop punk
is a summer jam only.
Yeah, I turn dark and broody over winter, and then I'll go back into my, like, you know. And when I say I listen to pop punk, I barely touch it, but, you know. Like, I'm going to go see My Chemical Romance in May. I will kick into pop punk probably about then.
So it's like math rock autumn, black metal winter, pop summer. What's spring music, Em? What's your spring jams?
I don't think I have. I think I just carry on the darkness. What did you draw?
So I got the Hierophant, which is spiritual wisdom, an advisor, teacher, guru, and awareness. A time of understanding and knowledge. You may encounter a teacher or someone who impacts your path. Oh, hopefully I'll meet someone cool at the wassailing event.
Maybe.
That would be cool. They'd be like, would you like a medieval cottage in Herefordshire? And I'll be like, yes, I would. Thank you, spirit guide.
Or so maybe you'll meet somebody and they'll offer to be a mentor.
No, I don't need no fucking mentor. Fuck off. Like, I would like to learn from people, but I don't want that kind of disciple. What's it? The apprentice and master thing. I don't want to be anyone's apprentice.
You don't want to be a Padawan.
I don't want to be a Padawan, no. The hairstyle is shit.
True, but Luke never had that, you know. But he wasn't truly a Padawan.
But that's so. Because the whole culture had been destroyed.
True.
If the culture had been around, he would have had the ear cut too.
Well, if the culture had been around, he wouldn't exist.
Oh my god. Sorry.
Do 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 Star Wars nerds on the podcast.
God.
That was a random episode.
It's fun though.
It was fun. We hope you all had fun.
Have a very great 2022, and we'll be coming back to you hopefully on the full moon every month this year.
We were pretty close last year.
We did really well. We did one every month and one month too. So thank you. For listening.
Exactly. Bye.
Bye. Love you. Bye.